Welcome back to The Deeper You Dive, a show where we dive deep into one record per season. Last episode, we analyzed the first part of the second track of East, called Monkey and Bear. We saw these animals escape their prior oppression together, only for the monkey to begin exploiting the bear himself. We also saw themes emerge such as decadence and excess by Monkey's constant promises of boundless plenty, conditional love in the relationship between the monkey and the bear, and man versus nature presented by animals doing things like performing a dance or having to pay the bills. Let's continue our analysis.
Deep in the night shone a weak and miserly light where the monkey shouldered his lamp. Someone had told him the bear'd been wandering a fair piece away from where they were camped. Someone had told him the bear'd been sneaking away to the seaside caverns to bathe. And the thought troubled the monkey, for he was afraid of spelunking down in those caves. Also afraid what the village people would say if they saw the bear in that state.
We are presented a scene that takes place at night. Monkey's lamp is described as weak and miserly, and this immediately presents something new to us. Not that we have not already seen Monkey as a weakling, exploiting another because he cannot survive on his own, but it is never said to us. The implicit meaning behind much of the first half of this song is that Monkey is taking advantage of Bear, but the way in which this is shown to us is by things he tells Ursula. From the outside, we are able to think about these promises and see what we believe Monkey is up to, but the words we are presented are almost always from Monkey's perspective. Even at the times where parentheses are used to display Monkey's thoughts, we have to interpret things like artless hustling to suggest that he thinks he can hustle better than his previous master. A miser is someone who hoards wealth, so the words weak and miserly perfectly portray the way we now think of Monkey at this point in the story. Strangely, our narrator tells us that someone told Monkey a secret. We don't know who this person could be, but it presents the idea that an external person from this relationship has revealed something that Bear has been doing behind Monkey's back. Apparently, Bear has been sneaking far away from their camp to bathe in the caverns. This thought troubles the monkey because he himself is afraid of going down into those caverns. We now note the second time in this song we are directly told of Monkey's own cowardice. The other reason that this news troubles him is because he is worried the townsfolk will see Bear. The fact that he is worried about this indicates that he does not want them to either see Bear be clean or to see her without her fancy clothes on. Either way, we suddenly understand that Bear is sneaking away from Monkey just for the teeniest bit of freedom where she can take off her outfit and be herself. Monkey's not wanting the townfolk to see this possibly implies he himself does not like the look of Bear in her natural state, or that he is worried once they see what Bear looks like without her outfit, they won't keep paying to see her perform and dance. Importantly, the version of the song In Gallop that features on the Walnut Whales EP contains this lyric. In order to make the music, seems I must break so many things. Turn over like bracken sea shrapnel, grazed by the tongue of a beetle green sea. Though these lines do not feature on the Milk-Eyed Menders rendition of this tune, they are important if only to reveal a potential way that Joanna symbolizes water here. The sea seems to be a way to break free from norms. It represents chaos of sorts. In living in this chaos and breaking the chains of a structured life, she finds herself able to create music. We saw in our bonus episode that the water in the song Colleen takes on a similar meaning, not just the freedom from societal norms, but also a freedom from the chains of forced femininity. It isn't too far-fetched to believe that this use of water imagery could translate into our song Monkey and Bear. Ursula sneaks away from her enslavement and heads to the caverns to bathe, and I think we can interpret this as her being herself, unrestricted by the limits of whatever society or the monkey expects from her. This is supported by Monkey's cowardice of spelunking down in those caves, because he is so concerned with how people might view him if he were to act in this lawless and uncivil manner. Purposeful or inadvertent, we continue to see how Joanna uses water to symbolize different concepts throughout her discography.
And splashing obscenely, well, it seemed a rational way of washing that face, washing that matted and flea-bit pelting. and some sea spit shine, old kelp dripping with brine. The monkey just laughed and he muttered, when she comes back, Ursula will be bursting with pride. Till I jump up saying, you've been rolling in muck, saying you smell of garbage and grime. But far out, far out.
We're told that Monkey sees these baths as irrational and obscene. Lolling is described as sitting or standing in a relaxed way, so the fact that Bear is being herself is gross and absurd to the monkey. The next lines, which describe Bear washing her fur, are riddled with gross imagery. Monkey sees her coat as matted and flea-bit, and the water used to wash it is described as sea spit and old kelp dripping with brine. These two lines are an absolute mouthful, with the alliteration of the S in sea spit shine, as well as the over-enunciated P's and B's in kelp dripping with brine. Though he is only thinking it, you can almost see Monkey salivating and spitting everywhere as he describes Ursula's bath. We then see Monkey fantasize about the scene when Ursula will return. He knows she'll return all happy and clean, having just bathed, and he seemingly cannot wait to berate her and shoot her down. The truly despicable nature of Monkey is revealed as he waits with bated breath for his woman to return, only to verbally abuse her. But before that can happen, Bear would have to return. Joanna sings the words, "Far out," as we suddenly travel to the scene inside the caverns with Bear. "Plowed here" means that Bear endured or pushed on through, but we don't know what that refers to. Further befuddling is that Bear plowed because she would not drown, implying that Bear wants to drown. This is shocking to the listener because at this point in the story there has been no previous explicit indication of Bear's feelings about the situation. We had the alliteration and consonants that implied that Bear wanted to cut the string that is tied to her, but we never hear Bear speak her feelings. She seemingly went along with whatever Monkey told her to do, but suddenly we see the toll it is taking on Bear. Not drown. First the outside legs of the bear up and fell down in the water like knobby garters. Then the outside arms of the bear fell off as easy as if slop from boiled tomatoes. Lured in a genteel curtsy, bear shed the mantle of her denuding shoulders. And with a sigh, she allowed the burden of belly to drop like an apron full of boulders. The description of Bear's coat here is essential. Notice it is the outside arms and legs of the bear that fall off. Garters are an article of clothing worn on the legs of a woman, like a suspender for a sock, most famous for their frequent use on a bride's wedding day. The description of knobby seems to indicate that the outside legs of the bear fell down like a sock or stocking being suspended by a cheap or broken garter. To slough something is to shed or remove, and the use of boiled tomatoes here paints a vivid picture. Tomatoes are naturally soft and flesh-like, reinforced by their red skin and the red water they carry inside of them. Boiled tomatoes would then be even softer than flesh, and we can imagine how easy it would be to cut into or shave off the skin of a boiled tomato. This is also a direct reference to food which Bear has been promised but yet deprived of throughout this whole story. The fact that Bear lowered in a genteel curtsy reinforces the femininity of this character, and we note the garters described earlier, a feminine article of clothing. A curtsy is often performed to show respect to someone or possibly at the end of a performance, something like the dancing performance Bear has been doing throughout this song. There is this idea present of this female identity being forced upon the bear that she is trying to shed. A mantle is a long sleeveless coat, worn especially by women, and diluvian is defined as relating to water or flooding, especially in a biblical sense. While unclear, this portrays her shoulders as fluid-like and perhaps not even physical. The use of a sigh in the following lines indicates Bear's disappointment. Her belly is then described as a burden and an apron full of boulders. And here we can see the true malice of the monkey. Just like he internalized the need for Bear to dance for him, he's also internalized his own despise for her body into Bear. These lines show us that Bear is embarrassed at the sight of her own body, describing her belly as an apron full of boulders to depict the fat that surrounds her abdomen. Monkey's manipulation of Bear has pushed her to the state where she hates herself.
If you could hold up a threadbare coat to the light where its worn trains loosened in places, you'd see spots where almost every night of the year Bear'd been mending, suspending that baseless. Now a coat drags through the water, bagging with a life's worth of hanging through the limitless minnows. In the magnetic embrace, balletic and glacial, a bear's insatiable shadow. Left there, one bear, left bear. Left there, one bear, step clear of the bear.
Bear's coat is described as threadbare, which is defined as clothing becoming thin and worn down with age, reinforced by the idea that light would shine translucently through it if you held it up to a light. Baseness means lacking in character or morals, so Bear has been spending every night of the year trying to repair and keep her coat from looking tattered and patchy. Bear's coat is completely removed, and we see her drag the coat through the water trying to catch fish. Small aside, this should remind us of the Pharisees dragged a comb through the meadow line in the beginning of Emily. A life's worth of hunger reveals the fact that Bear has not been eating, despite Monkey's consistent promises of endless plenty. We also note that minnows are tiny, and though she bags a limitless amount, it is quite a bit different than the milk and honey that was promised to her. The next lines become extremely ambiguous. Magnetic embrace describes an attraction. Balletic is used to describe something that is as graceful as a ballet, and glacial is used to describe something that is as cold as ice or came from ice. Balletic and glacial then describes Bear's shadow as graceful and cold, but more importantly, we are presented with the word insatiable. That word carries weight in this song because it can be used to describe the previous descriptions of an insatiable hunger presented by Monkey's descriptions of endless plenty and by the previous line relating to Bear's life's worth of hunger. But perhaps more importantly is the use of it to actually describe the shadow. Shadows are always insatiable. They are not tangible things. But with the words, Bear stepped clear of Bear, the description takes on a different meaning. Insatiable describes Bear's loss of physical form, whether it be through death itself or Bear transcending into something no longer physical. The ending here is most certainly intentionally ambiguous, so let's think of both of these interpretations. With the last verse, we saw Bear try to drown herself, so suicide is not off the table here. Monkey's manipulation of her has pushed Ursula to the breaking point, and it isn't far-fetched to believe that she killed herself to be finally free of the manipulative nature of men, whether it be her old master, the monkey, or just the world men have built. Just as imaginable, though, is the possibility that Bear transcends into something else, most likely a star. We remember the line about the Pleiades from Emily, and we remember the story of the seven sisters. In one of the interpretations, the sisters all committed suicide to escape the sheer grief they felt from the fate of their father. Upon finding this out, Zeus turns their spirits into stars. We also remember that Ursula's name is most likely a nod to the constellation Ursa Major, also referenced in Emily. Joanna has confirmed that the ending is intentionally ambiguous, so we are all left to speculate and come up with our own interpretations. The one thing common throughout all of them is that Bear removes herself from the world of men due to the hardships she continually has had to endure. Lastly, the song ends with a line we heard earlier in the song, but with one crucial change. Let's listen. Earlier in the song, we heard Monkey promise Bear that sooner or later you'll bear your teeth. It may be hard to hear the difference, but the lyric sheet tells us that the last line of the song is sooner or later you'll bury your teeth. This contrast between bear and bury is extremely important, and we'll talk about it in some great length at the end of this episode. Conclusions. Monkey and Bear is the most narratively driven track on the album. Every other track is not quite as straightforwardly narrative-based as this one, and listening to them separately from the album as a whole doesn't make much sense, as they all rely on the context of the other. Monkey and Bear is the only one that could exist on its own, apart from this album and tell a similar story to how it functions on the album. Though it is the most straightforward in terms of its narrative structure, the message or the meaning behind the song is one of the most complex and layered to interpret. The song begins on a farm with our two characters who both do not seem to fit on a farm. A monkey, likely a direct parallel to humans, and a bear, a very strong and independent creature that does not belong on a farm. The animals on the farm are being mistreated by their master, and this is slightly similar to George Orwell's famous book, Animal Farm. In the book, those who are being mistreated overthrow their oppressors, but upon trying to develop a more fair and civil society, they become just as, if not more, oppressive than their previous masters. We can tie that directly into Monkey's character in this song. He convinces Bear that they both need to escape this tyranny, but all the time he is planning on exploiting Bear himself. He tells Bear sweet lies about eventually being able to both be herself and eat her fill, but for the time being she must wear her fancy clothes and dance for Monkey's profit. These fancy clothes are a sign of femininity that is forced upon Bear, and the performance of dancing was an extension of that, where the woman is forced to act ladylike because society and the man expects that of her. Tying into this idea of forced femininity comes the fact that Bear actually never speaks throughout the entire song, clearly a comment on the lack of say women have over their own lives in a man's world. We know by the end that Ursula is struggling so much that she wishes to leave this world, but it is never vocalized because she does not have the opportunity to speak given the world she has been born into. We saw how the relationship between these two characters revealed the theme of conditional love and of exploitative tendencies of man, in that, given the opportunity, humans will always use their power to exploit and gain more power. Throughout the entire song, we see the theme of man versus nature being played with, as the animals do things like wear fancy clothes, drink tea, and so on and so forth. While all of these themes are relevant to the song in this album, the theme that is most prominent throughout this song is that of excess and insatiable hunger. Though a fable, many themes present in the song tie directly into real life, none more so than the repercussions of an abusive relationship. This is best revealed on three occasions. We first encounter it when Bear says, "That is what the monkey'd say," which, as we discussed earlier, displayed Monkey's victory. His constant manipulation then manifested itself in an internalized manner within Bear. We then saw this presented again when Bear was bathing in the caverns, and she begins to shed her coat. Ursula hates her natural body, furthering the internalization of this abusive relationship. But perhaps the most crucial moment occurs at the end of the song, with the phrase, "Sooner or later you'll bury your teeth." We interpreted that first iteration of the phrase to be another promise from Monkey that Ursula will eventually be able to be herself. But what does this phrase mean at the end of the song when Bear has left the physical world? Here's a possible interpretation. At certain moments in the song, we noted the absurdity of a monkey putting a bear on a leash, knowing that a bear could annihilate a monkey at any moment if it so pleased. We also got told, especially in the end of the song, of Monkey's cowardice. I think it's fair to suggest that Monkey himself was scared of Bear's power. This manifests in abuse by forcing femininity upon her and by not letting the bear eat. He tries to make the bear weak, but not just physically weak, mentally as well. See, the internalization of Monkey's beliefs into Bear does not stop at Ursula disliking her body. Ursula does not believe in herself. Though far mightier than the monkey, this self-deprecating thought internalized from the monkey into Bear's mind leaves Ursula feeling powerless. After killing herself or transcending the physical realm, we get the repetition of the phrase, but replaced with the word bury instead of bear. And I think there's three ways we can interpret this. The first interpretation sees the word bury represent the burying of Bear's teeth into Monkey, a violent revenge that Monkey was so afraid of. In this interpretation of it, the phrase is said after Bear leaves the world as to reveal to us what Monkey was so afraid of all along. The second interpretation still sees the use of bury meaning to bury your teeth into something, but we interpret this to be Ursula burying her teeth into herself. Monkey has turned the violence he was so afraid of onto Bear herself. The line would then be sung at the end of the song as a way to reveal what ended up happening in the story. Monkey got Bear to turn on herself. The third interpretation sees the word bury mean to hide, which would then be used to represent how Bear was never truly able to be herself, and never would be, even if she had stayed. In this interpretation, this contrast symbolizes the identity of a woman after an abusive relationship. Are they liberated, bare, B-A-R-E, stripped of their previous constraints, free to be themselves? Or do they lose themselves, B-U-R-Y, bury, forever harmed and scarred from the abuse, too afraid to ever freely be themselves for fear of enduring more pain? Like I said, though Monkey and Bear is the most simple narrative we find on this album, its exact meaning is extremely ambiguous and is left up for the listener to decide. Regardless of how you interpret the ending, Monkey and Bear is a fascinating fable full of masterful wordplay and double meanings throughout. With the second track of the album, we come to know the second of the four events that we know this album is centered around. Emily revealed Joanna's existential crisis, and Monkey and Bear revealed an abusive relationship Joanna endured. That concludes this episode. Be sure to tune in next episode where we dive into the third track of the album, Sawdust and Diamonds.